It's like a sword that pierces, and we need a little piercing. I thank you, Father, that you just, Holy Spirit, prepare our hearts. Let this word be planted, and Holy Spirit, you water it. And Father, that we would be changed by your word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Okay, now you're Pentecostal. All righty. Last week, we were blessed to have Brother Bob Holland from Jamaica, and he did a message. I was 10 seconds delay trying to catch it, but it was called Don't Be a Bone, B-O-N-E, Alone, A-L-O-N-E. Don't be a bone alone. And if you were not able to be here, fill out a envelope and just write your name. They're free. It's an excellent message. Right? Would you agree? It was an excellent message. And you may all have it all together, but get it, and you can give it to somebody, okay? So fill them out, and see the glass jars there. You can toss them in there, and we'll get CDs to you. But it was excellent. I also thought it was excellent because it just kind of mushes together what God has put on my heart to share for this month. And it started with last month for our October communion fellowship. I was teaching on covenant, because communion has to. Its roots are all about covenant. Anybody know that to be true? Yes. And then I got to the story about Jonathan and David, and that whole story has to do with covenant that we don't get. We don't get the bigness of it, but it has to do with covenant and covenant friendship. And as I was digging into it, and I still dig into it, I'm going, God, we don't get friendship the way you get friendship. We don't get the friendship that you offer us when we are your child, number one. When you're born again, he says you're a friend of God. All right, so I'm constantly reminding myself that. And there's nothing that can alienate me from being his friend, except for me turning my backside and walking this way. But God always calls you friend when you're his child, okay? Secondly, it just got so big in me that friends, we don't do friends the right way. We don't do friends the right way. And as I was praying, I said, Lord, we don't get friends. We're not doing it the right way. And I just heard the Holy Spirit say, until you understand and do friends the right way, you can't do all that I have for you to do. Years ago, we went to Nevis on a scuba diving trip. Had the time of my life. It was awesome. First off, warm water. Wonderful, okay? And we had great expectations, and especially with Jack, you will have greater expectation because he packs all sorts of paraphernalia, the legal kind. Okay, guys looking at me like that. One of which is a spear gun, because we're going to go spear fishing when we go scuba diving. And yeah, Jack, I tell you what. But we had great disappointment because this island, Nevis, the waters had been overfished. They didn't see no fish. Definitely didn't have dinner. I'll tell you one story. I can't tell you because we had a little illegal thing here going on, but you know, the lobster thing, okay. But the fish thing, we were okay. The fish thing, they were overfished. And we thought later, hey, you know, we've got Pennsylvania Game and Game Commission, you know, Fish and Game Commission. And as much as they're a pain in my backside back in the day when I was hunting, they really are a good thing, okay, because they make sure that doesn't happen. They make sure that doesn't happen. They make sure that grounds and animals are not wiped out, okay? So I thought about friends, and some of us need people in our life because we're on empty. We're on empty. And friends, if you know a friend, if you do friends right, if you are a friend, you'll never be fished out. And there's tons of people that are fished out, disconnected. And I'm Pastor D. I'm praying that we go into the highways and the byways and we go into our homes and our places of work. And the Lord says it's not going to happen until people know how to do friends, all right? So if I'm sorry, but if you want Jesus to come back, I don't. I'm telling you why. Because when I get up there, he's going to show you a pile. And I want my pile so big where he's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But you know what? To have that happen, you've got to have friends that come alongside you. Okay, I'm going to preach the rest of the sermon. Okay. So, but some days, like the day before taxes, I'm like, take me home. I don't have to pay those things, you know? Okay. So, anyway, so I wanted you to hear my heart and why I believe this is a very important message series that I'm doing. And if you sit here and you go, friends, what are you kidding me? What are we in kindergarten? You're going to miss it. But not this bunch, right? You guys don't miss it. You guys are on it. Okay. If you're taking notes, write down these three scriptures. I will eventually get to them. All right? So, and write on them Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20. Acts 9:26. And 1 Samuel 16. We'll get there. Proverbs 13:20. Acts 9:26. And 1 Samuel 16. So not last week. Last week was Brother Bob, but the week before, so if I happen to say last week, you know what I'm talking about. The message I did before that, we talked about, actually we laid some Bible foundation for friendships. So get the CD, because I'm only going to give you a half a page of notes on review, all right? So we did Bible foundation for friendships, and basically we were talking how to do friends. How to do friends, or better yet, really at the end of the message, it was how I can be a better friend, all right? And number one, if you're taking notes and you're doing, and you missed it, it's number one, if you want to be a better friend, you need to be present. Not, okay? You need to be present because there's great power when you're present with your friend. Not. All right? Secondly, you had to be open and transparent. If you're taking notes, write that number two. Open and transparent. And I tossed this out to you. I said, how many of you would agree that Joyce Myers is just so well-liked? And the reason why she is so well-liked is because people connect with her. Because she tells everybody all her boo-boos, mess-ups, and you got to be kidding. And you can, she's open and transparent, and you connect with her, all right? So if you're going to be a better friend, you have to have connect, okay? You have to have connect. All right, so that gets up. Now this is our key brain shaker, key thing I really want stuck in your brain. You're going to hear it over and over and over. And pretty soon you'll put it on your refrigerator because you're like, she's already said it over and over. I'll just put it up, okay? Or you can have a T-shirt. But I said last week our brain shaker, brain sticker was, show me your friends. Write that down if you missed it. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I was online Googling some things and I ran across a statement by Andy Stanley. Anybody know who he is? Andy Stanley? He's making the devil mad and just taking kingdom back. I'll tell you, it's so cool. And he said, similar to that, he says, your friends will always determine the quality and the direction of your life. Think about it. Close your eyes, think about it. Your friends will always, always determine the quality and the direction of your life. All right? So, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. But really, Andy Stanley got it from King Solomon, the wisest guy around, and that was Proverbs 13:20. Okay, that's where it comes from. He who walks with the wise will be wise. He who walks with the wise will be wise. Proverbs 13:20. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. Another translation says the companions of fools will suffer harm. The companion of fools will come out badly. So, show me your friends. I'll show you your future, all right? So, I made the statement, and I chuckled. I said, and your mom was right. Your mom was right. People you hang around with, watch out. Can you and your mom just, you know, I don't like those friends who hang around. If you hang around with them, that's not going to be good, all right? What might my one friend say? It's a recipe for disaster. All right, so question. Do you have close friends that make you wise? Or do you have some that it's just coming out badly? It's just not coming out good, all right? So we also... I had tossed out a question last time, and I said, write down five close, intimate friends. And then I said, pens down, papers turn over, stick on it, sit on them for like that for a little bit. And as I went through the message at the very end, I asked, how many of you had those five friends? And it was very interesting till you got out the door. Through the whole week, I had a lot of feedback. Matter of fact, it was kind of fun. This is probably the most feedback I've had a long time in a message. I thought, well, that's interesting. And this is what one person said. You know, Pastor, I couldn't believe it, but the last thing I do every night and the first thing I do every morning, and sometimes I get up in the middle of the night, and I check my social media. I check Facebook. I check my text messages. They were just being really honest with me, all right? Another person, this is a guy, he said, listen, you know, Pastor D, when you said write down five people, he said, I couldn't even come up with one close friend. And yet I've got, and they named a number of Facebook friends. All right, that was one feedback. Another person said, you know, Pastor, I guess I don't have that. And I said, that's okay, let's pray. All right, so... And a lot of people, like many of us, say, you know, but Pastor, I'm busy. Raise your hand if you're busy in your life. Woo! So I'm like, you know, you come rolling in here. I'm busy in life. And, you know, we are busy. And we try to connect with the social media world to help. And, you know, sometimes it does help. It does. Sometimes it does. Though, I want to say something. Somebody said, hey, Pastor, you know, where's so-and-so? So they already said this. So, Pastor, didn't you get the invitation? I said, what? I didn't get an invitation because you know how old I am. She says, well, I gave you an invitation on Facebook. I was like, well, I don't check that thing that often. Don't give me invitations on Facebook and expect me to be there. I will probably miss it, except for Sherry, who's on Facebook, all right? So I had to apologize. I said, man, I would have been there. So anyway, so... you know, even though we've got this social media thing going on, and it is good to an extent, but I really think, especially after last week, there's a whole lot of people that are going, man, there's more. You know, this is good. I may have 500, 600, 1,000. One person yelled she had 2,000 friends, Facebook friends. But, you know, when they started thinking about friends that they connect with, friends that they do life with, friends that make their life people are going, yeah, you know that, there's got to be more, there's more. Everybody say, there's more. All right, now, brace yourself. I'm going to be a little blunt here. I believe that we are living in poverty. Now, we all know what it is to live in poverty when it comes to material things. You don't have enough money for food. You don't have enough money to keep a roof over your head. You don't have enough. You don't have enough material things. But I'm telling you what, through this social media, through our busyness, I think we are living in poverty with relationships. Impoverished. Poverty. Everything poverty. Poverty with friends, all right? And I'm telling you guys, God can't, you need friends. And God wants to take you places, and you'll have to have friends with you. So we're in poverty. We're in poverty. And the sad part is a whole bunch of people, not us, it's the church down the street, that's what Brother Jose used to say, and I just love that. But not us, but a whole bunch of people don't even recognize they're in poverty when it comes to friendships because of the social thing going on. All right, so they don't recognize it. And, you know, sometimes, I don't care, you can text till your thumbs come off. And, you know, you can have a contest, but deep down, it's not it, all right? It's not it. So, I remember years ago, we took a missions trip to Haiti. Who was on the Haiti trip? And then Jack and I went to Burma. Now, Jamaica, I didn't say that because I want to talk about third world countries. I would say Jamaica is like a second world. It's not as bad anymore, okay? But third world countries, we went to Haiti and Burma. And the first 2 days, I was in shock. Shock at the devastation. Shocked at the incredible poverty. No electricity, no running water, and we won't even get to the bathroom thing. Oh my gosh. All right, I'll tell you a funny story. So we're in Burma, and we're at Rangoon, the capital city, which is not so third world in a sense, but the bathrooms. And I knew hanging with Jack, this day was going to come. So I asked, we're at this meeting, and I said, excuse me, can you tell me where the ladies' rooms are? And they point to this wooden shack, which was okay, because I've been into some hunting shacks, so it's all right. And I open it up, and I thought, dang it, I knew this day was coming. It's a hole in the ground. Oh, man. So, to me, that's third world countries, all right? That's how I rate my third world countries. Now, this one might have been a second because they had a little faucet with a hole on a ball and you could clean up or something like that. But, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. All right. So, first few days, we're in shock. We go to third world countries. But it's interesting. I noticed, especially Haiti, about the third and the fourth day, I'm looking around at these people. I'm over the shock. And I'm looking around at them and I thought, you know what? I'm almost jealous. Because I'm looking at their life and they've got community down that they're really rich in more than I am. They've got family down. The way they love family is a lot better than us. And the way they do friends. Now, this is what happened in Burma. In Burma, we were with Pastor Muntang, and he was having a conference, and this is the capital city, for pastors out in the middle of nowhere. They paid for them to come in. And they actually had an auditorium. It was very nice. And they had a sound booth, which you'll be so happy. Their sound booth was a table and two chairs set up. And they had sound going. It was pretty good every once in a while. Wah! But I kept looking at the sound booth guys or the sound table guys. Now, hear me this story. And Jackie, give me your hand since you're close. They're holding hands. And I thought, this is a Christian church. These guys are holding hands. And they're just holding hands. And just I was like, what? So about day three, I go, hey, Pastor Muntang, do you know what's going on here? Are we just covering them in love? And he looked at me. He says, they're friends. They're friends. Not those kind of friends. The right kind of friends. They're friends. And then my eyes were open, and I'm watching girls. The girls, single girls, and they'd hold each other in the arm. They'd hold hands like my little girls used to do when they were little. They didn't think twice about holding hands anywhere they went. But these were adults. And I thought, man, they do friends better than we do. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you guys are going to be holding hands, all right? Okay? But, oh, man. But, and so it was interesting when I got back to the great U.S. of A., back to my plenty of everything, back to all my stuff, and I started to look at, the Lord brought that back. The Lord brought that back, and he said, you know what? You have all this stuff, and you are so poor. You're so poor in how you do life. And today we're talking about how we do friends. And I kept thinking, man, something's missing. There's got to be more. And then the Lord said this to me, maybe it's not something that's missing, but it's someone that's missing. Someone's missing in your life to make you richer. Someone. And the challenge is it shouldn't be just someone. Now, I'm going to say this again. Your spouse should always be your number one friend, okay? But you need more than just your spouse, okay? They are always the number one friend you go to first. Because every time I held something and went to someone else, I got in trouble. Go there first, okay? So go there first. God's made a you've made a covenant with God, you're one. But you need more. You need someone else more. You need more in your life to connect to. So that brings us to today. All that gets you today. So if you're taking notes, write down this. Again, the first week was show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Today, key thought. You may be one friend away from changing your destiny. Write that down. You may be one friend away from changing your destiny. And I'm going to prove it to you. And I saw this over and over in my life where God put people in my life that helped change my destiny. There's people that some of you go, oh yeah, I can name them right now. I wouldn't be here unless it was for so-and-so, okay? But you may be one friend away from changing your destiny, your future. Okay, turn over to Acts 9. Acts 9. Oh, let's see, which Bible did I bring? Acts 9, verse 26. This is the life of Paul, all right? You guys know Paul? Good. Bible scholars, look at that. Okay, Acts 9:26. This is about the Apostle Paul and how the whole course of his life was changed. He was going this direction, and then somebody came into his life and he went this direction. Okay? He was going this direction, but God had a friend come in and change him, and it changed his life, okay? So, 9:26, Acts 9:26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Now, what does this mean? It means that he wasn't the guy who we remember, the Apostle Paul. All right? This was Saul. The numero uno chief persecutor, main mission in his passion back then was to kill Christians. Persecute them / kill them. All right? So this was him then, all right? And now he becomes a Christian. Okay? He becomes a Christian. And he goes up to Jerusalem and he's like, hey, I want to preach for you guys. I got this message, you guys. And they're like, oh, no way, Jose. You're the guy that last week's trying to kill us. You're the guy that, you're not coming to my home group. Are you kidding me? Stay away. Keep on walking by. Okay? That's what that scripture says. All right? So, the rest of it says, verse 27, but Barnabas, say friend. All right. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples. Okay, a friend. Connect. A friend took him. A friend took him and vouched for his character, vouched for him, laid his life on the line. All right? A friend. Okay, I got to go back and read this. Okay. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Okay? A friend. Had he not had the friend, I don't think those guys were going to let him in the door. I'm just kind of supposing, okay? But it says Barnabas. So I know, Pastor D, you're stretching it. I am not. Think about friendships, okay? God brought a friend to connect him. And through that, it changed the course of his destiny. And now we know him as the Apostle Paul. Now we know him as the guy who wrote 2/3 of the Bible. Now millions of lives have been changed or are still being changed because God brought one guy at the right time to be his friend to help him change the course of his life and actually change our life. Wouldn't you say so? I love the epistles. Ephesians, I love Ephesians. I've got it so underlined, I have to get a new Bible soon. I just love, okay? So, listen. All because God brought one friend into Saul's life, changed the course and direction of his life. He's now the Apostle Paul. So, this is my challenge. I believe that's true for every single one of us here. I believe that you are one friend, you could be, one friend away from changing the course of your life, the course of your destiny, all right? Say hallelujah or laugh or something. You don't look so, wah, all right. Now, let me give you a little bit of wisdom before you get like a snob on the friendship thing. Don't just go looking for friends that are just like you. If you're 30, just don't go looking for 30-year-olds, okay? Unless you're looking for a spouse or something, I don't know. If you're married and you have kids, don't just go looking for friends that are married and have kids. If you're, if you're into running marathons, and you just don't go looking for that. Because you know what I found out? God loves to connect you to different generations. Ladies, we did a series by Lisa Bevere about different generations. I can't remember the title of that. All right. Fight Like a Girl, or is that the other one? Nurture. Talked about how vital it is to have different generations. And now listen, think. Because I was thinking about the friendships that I've had, long-lasting friendships. Now, they may not live in your county, they may not live next to me, but we've had long-lasting friendships. And I got some that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and 80s, 70s, 80s. I've got them all across the board. And interestingly enough, my close friends, when my kids were little, one was a woman who was just about 5 years older than me, and another one who was about 15 years older than me. And they poured into me, connected me, that I actually became a better parent. Because if I was betting on the way I was raised, it was not going to end pretty. All right? So God brought them, and they changed the way I did raise kids. The way I did children's ministry downstairs. Everybody sit down. Put on your seatbelts. Zip your lips. How many were in my classes back then? All right. God also brought, God's also brought, right after Pastor Jack went home to be with the Lord, I had always had Bob Holland's wife, Mary, and Kathy Beers. Because Kathy and Ernie and Jack and I all graduated from Rhema way back in the day, but we'd always stayed with a close friendship, and God brought them to my kitchen. Matter of fact, I was like, "Could you just leave me alone?" And oh no, those close friends showed up in my kitchen, and they poured into me, and they encouraged me, and they spoke words over me. They kicked me in the back end, and they helped change the course of my destiny. I'm telling you. All right, so how many of you would say, "I need some of those"? I need some of those, okay, because listen, you may be one friend away from changing the course of your destiny, all right? So now we're going to go through the rest of the scriptures. What was the other one? Samuel, that's right. Okay, flip over to 1 Samuel, okay? We're going to look at the life of David. I'm going to give you a scriptures so you can, and it was really hard. I picked David because actually he had three kinds of friends, and it was just really hard to narrow down somebody who had three friends that talk about friendship, because I was thinking of Jethro, that was Moses' father-in-law. Man, thank God for Jethro, what he spoke to Moses. Changed how he did leadership. All right, so it was hard. My brain was just swirling, but I'm going to do David. Okay, now we're going to talk about three kinds of friends that everybody needs in their life. Every single one of you need them in your life. Okay, now I'll bet you at the end of this you're probably missing one of those. All right, and actually, now it wasn't one of my friends that spoke into my life that passed away. About 8 years ago, and I'm looking for another one like that, okay? I'm looking for another one like that, all right? But we should all have these three kinds of friends, and probably you're going to go, oops, I'm minus one, all right? And so the first one we're going to look at is Samuel. Well, okay, let me tell you all the friends. Samuel, Jonathan, and Nathan. So you can write that down. Three types of friends: Samuel, Jonathan, and Nathan. First one we're going to look at is Samuel. Now, write this down. You're taking notes because you all love to take notes and review them and preach them to your spouse afterwards and then tell your friends all this, right? So you're taking notes. Taking notes, and you're going to write this. Number one, this friend, Samuel, is a friend that makes you better. Okay. Underline the word better, all right? And listen, we all need friends, close, intimate friends that make us better. Now, your spouse is already on that page. I'm talking about the others. You need friends in your life that make you better, okay? And let me give you the background before I jump in there. God had rejected King Saul because he disobeyed him. He had taken his spirit off of him. And then God had called the prophet Samuel to go anoint the next king. So Samuel is on his mission. He got his papers from the Lord. He's on his mission, and he goes to the house of Jesse. And he says, "Hey, Jesse." And he didn't really tell Jesse what's going on. He says, "Hey." God had told Samuel to go to the house of Jesse to do what? Anoint the next king. So he's hanging out at the house, and he's looking at Jesse's boys. And the first one, the oldest one, comes up. What's he? Eliab? How do you say his name? E-L-I-A-B. Yeah. Okay, and he looks at him, the firstborn. And he's probably the tallest, the strongest, and the most good-lookingest, I don't know. And Samuel goes, "God, Vanna White?" And God goes, "Nope." And then he goes, "Okay, well, give me the second son." And he goes, "God." And God says, "Nope." And he does the third, fourth, fifth, nope, nope, nope. And he went through all seven of his sons. And then Samuel gets smart. You ever have these days where things are going wrong and you finally go, "Okay, God, what's up?" And I really should have done that on the first one, but, you know, I'm off on my own speed here. And he goes, "God, what's up? God, what's up with this? You tell me to come over here to anoint the next king." And I went through the list here, and I mean, for real? And God says, "Listen, you do it like most people do. You look at the outside, all right? The tall, the smart, the good-looking, how much they have." And he says, but God says what, everybody? You know this scripture. God looks at the heart. Okay, God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. God looks at the heart. And actually, God looks at the heart. He saw the runt of the litter. Little David, the shepherd boy, right? Right? And God speaks to Samuel, opens Samuel's eyes, really, to see the heart. He opens Samuel's eyes to see the heart. He opens Samuel's eyes to see the heart. That's a good way to pick friends, guys, all right? That wasn't in my notes. And he says, "Okay, I want you to go." Okay, 1 Samuel 16. We should look at the Bible here. 1 Samuel 16. You guys are already there, just not me. 1 Samuel 16. Give me a sec. Here. Hallelujah. Say, "Friends make me better." Amen. 1 Samuel 16, starting in verse 12. "And he sent and let's do 11. "And Samuel said, 'Jesse, are all the young men here?' Then he said, 'Oh, there remains the youngest one, and he's keeping the sheep.' So Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him in, for we are not to sit down until he comes.' So he sent and brought in David, and he was ruddy, with bright eyes, good looking. And the Lord said, 'Arise and anoint him.'" Rise. You know what he's saying? That's the guy. That's the one. That's the one. That's the one. Okay? And you know, it's so interesting. Nobody else saw what God saw. Listen, his brothers didn't see what God saw. You would think, listen, I know mamas. I mean, they just think their kids are amazing, perfect, smartest, you know, jump higher. Not even his dad could see what God saw. Isn't that crazy? Interesting. Interesting, okay? Okay, so he anoints him, And you know what? What happened when Samuel anointed him? He's looking like God, and he's saying, listen, God can do so much with you. It's going to be amazing. Friends that look inside of you and say, listen, God can do so much with you. Your life is amazing. God's got big plans, all right? So what happened? Samuel actually helped David get bigger, right? All right? He actually changed his course. He's from the pasture to the palace, right? And he becomes king of Israel. So this friend definitely helped change his life, make him better. How many of you agree, right? Okay, so question, who are your friends? Who are your friends? And who do you hang out with? Now, it's interesting, as I went through ages and stages of my life, and I thought of the friends that I'd hung out back when I was 20, back when I was 30, 40, and you know I'm hitting 60 soon. But I was thinking about them, and most of them happened by accident. Like it was the ladies I went to preschool, all right, or the moms at the soccer, okay? And maybe guys, it's the guys you hang out at the gym, or it's the guys you work with, all right? Okay, so would you say they kind of happened by accident? Maybe it's the person you sat next to in English class. Kind of happened by accident, all right, most of them. But, question, do they make you better? All right, do they make you better? Now, this is it. Do they make you better in what matters in life? Okay, all right, so show me your friends. I'll show you your future, all right? All right, so such as if you're hanging out with people that have on a regular, you hang out with them, I don't know if you do whatever with them, and they've got bad marriages, they're divorced, they're just mudslinging their spouses. Guess what? They're not going to make your marriage better, are they? Right, if you're hanging out with the couch potatoes, and they eat ding-dongs and ho-hos and Twinkies and they game all day and they never get out of there, they're not going to help your health, are they? All right, the doctor's already pointed his finger at you and he says, listen, buddy, you got to drop 60 pounds or you're going to drop. All right, so are those friends going to help make you better? No, okay? All right, so show me your friends, I'll show you your future, all right? How about if you want to be a better husband, a better leader, a better at anything, then what do you need to do? Find some friends that make you better, all right? Hang around people that make you better. Hang around people that make you better because show me your friends, I'm going to show you your future, all right? And you might be one friend away from changing the direction of your destiny, okay? Now, the other part of that is, the flip side of that is, it's not all about what you're finding friends that make you better, right? That's pretty selfish. You're pretty snobby, all right? And you're, Matt, yeah, you're selfish. But what it is, what you should have is the heart is, where can I find friends? Or the friends that I do have, can I connect? Can I make them better? All right? Now, you have... I'll save that one for later. Okay, wait a minute. All right. So, everybody agree? Number one, you need to find friends that make you better. All right, John, I'm looking at the clock going, okay. David's next friend was Jonathan. Write down Jonathan. Jonathan, number two friend, all right? And this is a friend that helped strengthen David in the Lord. And every one of you that's born again has Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, whether you're passionately pursuing, but you should be, but if you're not, but if you're born again, you should have a friend that strengthens you in the Lord, encourages you in the Lord, all right? Not just encourages you to pump more iron, come on, you can do that. No, encourages you in the Lord, all right? So if you're born again, Jesus is Lord of your life, you need this person, and you need a bunch of them, all right? Turn over to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27, 17. Okay, is it hot in here or just me? Okay, Carol, crank it up. Yeah, we love doing this, Carol and I. We sit here with the fans. Okay, we're trying, this is like, okay, those of you don't, you know you should have winter coats in here. Proverbs and Long John's and, you know, Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens your life. Okay? Everybody say, iron sharpens iron. So a friend sharpens your life. All right. Those are friends that make us do better. Where was I? Okay, Jonathan. I skipped over, sorry. All right, Jonathan, let's go on with our story. David is now the anointed to be king, right? David, okay? And he's become the war hero. Yay! Killed Goliath and killed all these Philistines. And now all these women are like, whoo, take a notice of him. Look at him. And they start singing songs. Saul, he's killed thousands. But David's killed 10,000s. Good thing I'm not singing, all right? Okay, but what happens? Makes Saul mad, jealous. He's so mad. He's going to take my throne away. Whoa, man, I can't believe they're singing about him, okay? And he starts getting nervous, ugly, mad, and jealous, and he decides he's going to kill David, all right? So back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 6, we're going to go to verse 23. 1 Samuel 23:15. First Samuel 23:15. So David saw Saul, S-A-W, that Saul, S-A-U, what, sorry about that, had come out to seek his life. Now, how many of you complain you've had a tough day? This guy had a bad day. Someone's out to kill him. All right, so stop your whining. Nobody's out killing you. This guy, David's got a bad day going, all right? And he says, so, David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph, and in the forest. And then, verse 16, then Jonathan, Saul's son. Jonathan, the king's son, all right, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened him in the hand of God. Jonathan, he was actually a covenant friend. A covenant friend that went to him and encouraged him. How many of you have friends like that? All right? How many of you have friends like that that strengthen you in God? Listen, every one of you need that. Okay? Everybody say, I need help. I need friends that strengthen me. All right? And listen, I don't care how long you've walked in the Lord or how mature you think you are. Life gets tough. Attack! Attack! All right? That happens. Because you're guaranteed that. The day after you get, the moment you get born again, it's going to happen. So it's going to happen, and you've got to have friends that connect with you, that strengthen you in the Lord. All right? How about a friend? Because listen, it's really funny, especially if the big attack is on and you're being persecuted. Most of those friends walk out the door. See ya. And what you need is a friend that walks in and stays with you and encourages you and says, come on, it's like the Aaron and Hurs. I'm going to stand on this side and you're going to stand on that side and we're going to make it together. Okay, so you might be one friend away from changing the course of your destiny, and you need those kind of friends. All right, everybody agreed? All right, how many of you have them? Close your eyes, raise your hands. How many of you have them? All right. I remember one of my children was in the dark days. Can you imagine pastor's kids? And nice words, Dee. It blew up on Christmas Eve. It was the sucker punch. I was on the ground. I was sobbing. And I'm sorry, what Jack said didn't make any sense. Okay, all right. Oh, dear, we're going to be fine. But several years before, a girl hounded me to join Moms in Touch prayer group. I was like, I hate praying with ladies. A bunch of yeah. And I finally did out of shame. It was the best thing. Because one of them lived seven doors down from me. It's Christmas Eve, and I pick up the phone, and I go, June, I need you. She said, come on down. Walk down, and there's her husband dressed in a blazer and a tie, white shirt, and she's dressed up really nice, and she's all pretty looking, and I go, did I interrupt? She goes, don't worry about it. It's Christmas Eve. Guess where they're headed to? Yeah, Christmas Eve mass or church. They do church, okay? She didn't tell me that till the end. She said, sit down. What's going on? Wah! I did. And actually, what had happened in her life. But now she was this amazing woman of God. And she just went through her story, and she said, come on, Dee, let's pray. And, you know, kind of had the tables turned, and she starts preaching on me scriptures. The greater one lives in you. He's given you all power and authority. You have the name of Jesus, and we're going to command the devil to take his hands off your child, and your child is called for great things. Okay? And grabbed my hand, prayed with me, okay, till I finally was breathing, okay? And listen, it wasn't until like a week later, God was finally on the page, and I realized, and her husband was so sweet. And her husband actually was not walking really with the Lord, but he's a great guy. And he just went upstairs quietly and hid and let his wife just be the person that strengthened me in the Lord. All right, how many of you know you need one of those? Need a couple of those, all right? So do you have friends like that? Anybody have friends like that? They get up in the middle of the night and they're impressed to pray for you for an hour and a half? That means I gotta take my retainer out, put it over here, and start praying for you, okay? But the next morning, because I love you so much, I call you the next morning and I go, hey, yo, what's going on? God woke me up. And the scripture comes just stirring around. And I tell you the scripture. And then you go, yeah, thanks. I needed that. And then we used to, and you listen, I love all those people that say, oh, yes, I'll pray for you. No, I want you to pray now with me, not for me. I want you to pray with me. Because sometimes praying for you, it's nice. That's great. Okay. But man, you get somebody that walks in and is right there and they're praying with you. So you might be one friend away from changing the places that you need to go. So how many of you would say, I have those friends or I need those friends? I need those friends, okay? I need those friends, all right? Now, again, I'm going to say, it's not just the friends that do it for you. The biggest blessing is if you're the friend that does life with you. Oh, my gosh. It just does something to me. When I'm their friend, when I'm your friend and I do life with you, when I pray for you, when I encourage you, when I serve you, when I bless you, when I give to you, I may go home tired, put my retainer back in my mouth, okay? But I go home happy. There's a benefit of having them and being them. All right? All right. So let me think. Where are we on our story? Did we do... Okay, we wiped up Jonathan. Let's go to Nathan. Okay, Nathan, number three friend. Okay, he's the friend that will tell you the truth. Now, I'm not talking about you've got lettuce in your teeth. I'm not talking about the one that says, you need an Altoid. Okay, though those are nice. Okay, they'll help you in life. I'm not talking about those, all right? I'm talking about friends that tell you the truth. Friends that tell you the truth. Now, David was a man after God's heart. Remember that? Okay? But the problem was about this part of the story is he takes his eyes off of God. He puts them on Bathsheba. All right? He always will be, but he was a man after God's own heart. But he takes his eyes off of the Lord, puts them on Bathsheba, has an adulterous affair, All right? And it even gets worse. If that wasn't bad, he goes and figures out this, concocts this plan on how to kill her husband. All right? And but the problem about all of that was he just, no sweat. He was like, no sweat. It didn't rock his boat. He didn't get the gravity of this. So God sends a friend, Nathan. All right, Nathan. God sends a friend, Nathan. And I think we're at 2 Samuel. Sorry about that. 2 Samuel 12. Hallelujah. You may be one friend away from changing your destiny. 2 Samuel 12. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future. I guarantee you I will. Then the Lord said to Nathan, then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came. Okay, and he comes to David, and he's like, high five, how's it going? And he says, David, sit down here. I want to tell you a story. Okay, once upon a time in a long, faraway village lived this really wealthy man, and he had plenty of sheep and cattle, so many that he couldn't even count. The guy was just overloaded, okay? But also in the same town was this really poor guy, and he had this one little sheep that he bought, and he just took really good care of it. They almost treated this sheep like a pet. And you're laughing at me, all right? So they just had this sheep like a pet, and they just brought it in with the kids, and they played. You could actually say they did life with it, okay? So that's my poor guy. Then one day, a traveler comes to the wealthy guy, the really rich guy that's got so much, he doesn't even count them. And he says, you know, so when the traveler comes, he says, hey, it's time, let's eat. So the wealthy guy, this is Nathan telling David the story. So, The wealthy guy goes, and he gets the poor guy's sheep, the one and only one he had. He kills it, prepares it for dinner, and gives it to the traveler. David's listening to this story, and he's like, outraged. Oh, my gosh, that is so way bad. That's the worst thing I've ever had. That guy ought to die. Can you imagine? And Nathan turns around and looks at him, and he says, that's you. You're the one. And it pierces his heart. He actually repents. And if you turn over to Psalm 51, that's the psalm he wrote. In the top of my Bible, it even says, this is the psalm that David wrote after Nathan told him the news. All right? Okay. God used one special friend to tell him the truth. And David did. He repented. He changed his life. All right? So, getting it on a happier note, because you're all looking at me like, ugh. All right. Years ago, we were in Valley View Elementary, and I was just popping out babies and running around crazy. You know, I was not Pastor D or anything. I just would try to make it to church with my shirt tucked in and my kids in the car. Jack would go early. One day after church, these two Sunday school teachers come up to me and Pastor Jack, can we talk to you? And they're looking really serious. And they say, we need to talk to you. Your son, Jesse, and his friend James jump out of the window every Sunday. What? I still remember this. What to make it safe is the building was built in a square and the courtyard was in the middle. So they jump in there. They jump and run around, and the teacher's like, come in, and they wouldn't obey. I love that word, obey. Now, I'm telling you this, finally, somebody told us the truth. And I don't even remember how long this thing had been going on. It wasn't a week like the first time. Oh, no, nobody could suck it up and tell the truth, okay? So were we embarrassed? Oh, yeah, but somebody's rear end was sore at the end of that day. And it never, ever happened again. Okay, so listen, you need friends that tell you the truth. Now listen, God did not give you, Kathy, the card to tell everybody the truth. That is not your mission in life. It's not your mission in life. Because sometimes we get into taking the speck out of people's eye when we've got the beam. These are only, this is the fine print at the bottom of the page, these are only close, intimate friends. that get to do that. Okay, and pastor. Okay, these are only close, intimate friends. And listen, that close, intimate friend changed Jesse's destiny, the course of his destiny. Okay, Nathan changed David's course of his destiny because he spoke the truth. He loved him. He loved him. He loved him. One of my friends was telling me how they've got this agreement now that they can tell their spouse they love them, and by the way, this is the truth. All right? You tell them, speaking the truth in love at the due season, all right? Not when, you know, okay. So, when was the last time you told someone the truth that changed the course of their destiny? How about when was the last time someone told you the truth and you are so grateful, made you straighten up and fly right? Because had they not, how about if you had a friend that came up to you, a close, intimate friend, and they said, listen, I see what's happening and I'm concerned for you. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt people that love you. You're going to trash your testimony. And God has done so much, and there's people that are waiting to hear your testimony. Please, let's pray. Let me stand with you, all right? You need those friends, all right? How about the one that, now that's the negative side, that's the correction side, but how about a good friend, a close, intimate friend that says, listen, who was I was talking to? They were, they had heard of a position open in their company, and they kind of wanted it, but they were letting Satan just talk them out of it. And the group that I was with, my little home group bunch, man, we just, come on. I know God's got great things for you. You've got the favor of God. I can see you doing that. Come on, girl, you can do it. All right? That's the other part of the close, intimate friend that tells you the truth, that holds you up and pushes you. All right? So, do you have those kinds of friends? Oh, got to be quiet here. All right? Okay. Listen, close, intimate friends that build you up, encourage you, pray with you, stand with you, get in your face and love you, all right? All right, close, intimate friends, all right? So, I don't know how to do this. Dear Jesus, let me just close my eyes for a second here. I wanted to get to this one part. All right, now this is like stepping on toes, and I only step on toes because I love you. But there's people, there might be in here, okay, so you don't feel like I'm, that you're hanging with the wrong bunch. They're not building you up, okay? They're not speaking and stirring you up. They're not speaking the truth. And matter of fact, let me say it this way. They're not doing anything. They're just the good old boys. Anybody have a bunch? They're just the good old boys? And actually, it's making you stay the same. Remember that iron sharpens iron? If you have friends that are all the same, you're just all doing the same thing. Now, this is a challenge in my life, okay? Challenge in my life, too. We're doing the same thing. Like, you just do good things. We go to the movies. We go out to eat. We go play. We go this. We go play. We just get around and we play. We have fun. All right. Maybe you need friends that are going to move you, all right? Move you, because God has places for you to go, and you need to be moved, all right? So you guys just got to get quiet and think that. That's just, I know it's a little in your face, but how about maybe you need friends that help you tap into the power and the anointing of God, and all you're doing is sitting and waiting. And just say, oh, how come we never have this? How come that never happens this? How come that? Maybe you need good friends that help lift you and encourage you and say, come on, let's do it. How about we have a prayer meeting and we're going to do it together? All right. How about that? So you're not just waiting, but you're going and a-doing, and God's going to use you. How many of you need some of those friends? Okay. Remember, how about this one? Maybe you're one friend away from meeting Jesus, the Lord and Savior, the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Or maybe you have a friend that's just waiting for you to help them change the course of their life, eternal course, and meet Jesus. I'm telling you guys, friendship is big. It's big. Okay? I'm going to cry. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that your word is powerful. I thank you, Father, your word is anointed. I thank you, Father, that this word will accomplish what you've purposed. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you just open the eyes, open our eyes, open our heart, that we will see people you've placed in our life that you're calling for us to be a friend and to do friends with. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if there's anybody here, you're going, Pastor D, I'm just so busy. I'm so busy, and I've tried, and I need help. Raise your hand. How about you're one of those that says, you know, Pastor D, I've got a bunch, but they're good. We don't get in any trouble. Honest to God, cross my heart, Pastor D, we don't do anything bad. But Pastor D, I want to do more. I want my life to be fuller. I just feel like, gee, there's more in Jesus. How many of you would say that? All right. Hallelujah. Now listen, you do what David does. He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him out of his holy hill, and he answered him. Answered him. I'm not going to pray for you right now, but I would ask, you get quiet in the net tonight, hopefully, because you got an extra hour here, and ask, and just cry, pour your heart out to God. God, I've seen people that make better. I got this one friend who came to me and said one time, D, I want to tell you something in love. And I was like, put your seatbelt on. You know when they start that sentence at? But listen, this person loved me, and he said, you got this resting face. Your resting face looks like you're mad. I can't do it now because I'm going to laugh. And I go, what? And actually, they had a photo. And it caught their attention, but they loved me so much. And I had to say, whoa. So I'm working at it, okay, sometimes, but I'm not mad, but I'm looking at God. I see people, I want to touch them, and I want to pray for them, and they're at church, you know, and he just said, work on the resting face, it'll do you good. Okay, and you know, so you can do that, you can say, hey, resting face, I appreciate it, all right. Praise God. I love you. I could just babble on because, listen, friendship is so big. It is so big to change the destiny of your life and the world that is waiting for us. And we will have to team up. There's no long rangers. You know, we're no little islands. You have to be together. You have to have this support system because God loves you. All right. Go away. Poof. I love you. Have a wonderful day. Tonight, come on.